Nurses top the trusted profession list again. States not ready for infectious diseases. Congress goes after electronic health records that don't play nice with others. And we'll have a look at how cancer survivorship programs help cancer survivors get over their ordeal with the illness and its treatments. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show, the podcast for nurses by nurses. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for checking out this week's program. We've got a great lot of good stuff coming up for you this week. In our nursing news items, we're going to take a look at a new Gallup survey that has nurses listed as the most trusted profession yet again. What are we doing right, and what can we do to hold on to this coveted title in the future? Then, in this week's tip of the week, we're going to look at the success of cancer survivorship programs with a special interview with cancer specialist Dr. Jacqueline Barrientos and a cancer survivor. What role might nurses play in these programs, and how can we do more to help these patients adjust to life after a battle with cancer? We'll find out more about that here later on after this week's news items. Before we get to the news, though, I do want to make sure that you take some time and follow up on the information from this and all of our episodes here at The Nursing Show by heading over to nursingshow.com. Check out the links in the episode show notes there. Of course, there are other articles and other things there at the show, including Nursing Show's mobile app, student nurse tips, and a lot of other things. So make sure you're following up so you know how what I talk about in the show each week is applied to your own nursing scope of practice. If you want to get back in touch with me, I hope you'll do so. You can always drop me an email. You can send those emails in to me directly to nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, and I make sure I respond back to every email that comes in. So send me things, links to news items you'd like me to cover. Maybe you have an interview suggestion with you or somebody you know. Whatever the case may be, please keep those emails coming. That's it. I'll have some more contact information coming up later on in this episode, but in the meantime, let's go ahead and get on into this week's news items. That's coming right up. Kicking off the news this week, we've got some great news for nurses here in the United States. The Gallup Poll Organization came out with their annual rating of professions based on their perceived level of honesty and ethical standards. Nurses, again, topped the list with over 80% of Americans in the poll saying that nurses had either high or very high standards for honesty and ethics. That puts us on the opposite side of the scale from, wait for it, the U.S. Congress. Yeah, the Congress ranked below even used car salesmen in trustworthiness and ethics. The top three scoring professions were nurses, doctors, and then pharmacists, which says a lot about the respect and the importance people place on their health care. Now, this is important and it's great news for us, but it also has another side to it. Now we have to continue to live up to this expectation from our patients. We must continue to hold ourselves to the highest ethical standards in everything we do, declaring when we have conflicts of interest and where we must make disclosures of business relationships. This goes for me as well. You know, as a nurse journalist, I have to make sure that I am very clear when a company has given me a review item or is a sponsor of my programming in some way so that you can understand what those relationships are. Now, in addition to that, I try to make a pledge very seriously to you that I only accept sponsors here that I really genuinely think are going to be something you'd like or need to know about. No garbage sponsors, no snake oil salesmen, or untested herbal remedies are going to make it here on The Nursing Show. That's my promise to you. Next up in the news this week, let's take a look at a report that says that states' preparedness to handle major infectious disease outbreaks is really bad. Recent news reports have highlighted the issues in national preparedness for infectious diseases. Look at the mumps outbreak in the National Hockey League, for example, or even Angelina Jolie's recent chickenpox bout. These are related to vaccination and booster shots. Now, the report from the Trust for America's Health came to the conclusion following the review that it did of individual states' preparedness levels that more than 50% of the states were unready for infectious diseases. Now, this includes their ability to treat the people, to recognize the disease when it's coming, and to prevent the spread of the illness. The report that says that the Ebola scare kind of brought this to the forefront, and the public health officials have recently scaled back plans to make changes to the existing system now that the Ebola scare is kind of out of the radar. The report looked at 10 preparedness factors, including vaccination rates, medical center infection control programs, surveillance efforts locally for things like E. coli and HIV. 5 states fared relatively well, including Maryland, Virginia, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Arkansas was dead last, with only 2 of the 10 markers checked off. Check out the article for yourself to see how your state fared. You might want to come up with a personal plan for you and your family when an outbreak strikes. Finally, in the news this week for nurses is a look at electronic health records and what Congress and the federal government are doing to make sure that they all play nice with each other. Now, Congress recently directed the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT to decertify those EHRs that don't facilitate the easy sharing of health information with other systems. The change came as part of a recent federal funding bill, and it says that the approved systems should only be those that meet current meaningful use guidelines, and those programs that block the sharing of information should not be supported in the continued use within healthcare systems. One thing I wonder about is how will this affect those medical devices out there that have data components that can share within a system? Now, you know the things I'm talking about, things like heart monitors, blood sugar monitors, even IV pumps, all could be worked into a healthcare IT program. But how easy is it to get them to share their data? I think that all medical contributors to the health record, including medical devices and software, should be interoperative on at least a basic level. Now, this should not require a walled garden where information wouldn't be shared effectively unless you purchase specific products. You know, you have only buy from one company or it doesn't work. This type of conduct just hinders positive patient outcomes. So I'd like to see this policy expanded to healthcare IT-capable devices of all kinds. Let's make it so that all our devices play nice with each other in the patient's best interest. Today, about 1 in 22 Americans is a cancer survivor, tripling the percentage seen just 40 years ago. Experts attribute that change to advancements in diagnosis, in treatment, and care. And this has led to a growth in survivorship care programs and resources, which focus on the patient's physical and emotional needs after surviving a bout with cancer. I got the chance to sit down and chat with Dr. Jacqueline Barrientos and a leukemia survivor named Neil. Here's that special segment.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning. It's great to talk to both of you. Dr. Barrientos, I want to welcome you and Neil to the nursing show. It's a program with an audience of nurses and students that are becoming nurses. And this is an important topic to talk about, cancer survivorship. But I think we should probably start off by asking you, Dr. Barrientos, what is it that makes someone a cancer survivor? And some of the programs that are out there for this new category of cancer patient.
Yes, thank you for having me here to discuss why is it important to, you know, understand what survivorship means. Essentially, you're a survivor from the moment that you are diagnosed. So you get the diagnosis, and at the same time, you become a survivor. There's many issues that come with that, you know, being a survivor. One of them is, how are you going to disclose your new diagnosis to your families? How are you going to discuss this with your boss to make the appointments? And the other side of it is making time for the appointments, getting your family to support you through this journey. And I am here on behalf of Genentech to help raise awareness about survivorship issues because, as you may be aware, right now we essentially have about 15 million survivors in America, whereas 40 years ago, we only had 3 million survivors. And this is all because people are getting diagnosed earlier. We have better therapies, better treatments, better chances to get you in remission so that you can actually go on with your life. And eventually that's my goal, to get my patients back to where they were before they had the cancer diagnosis. So thank you very much.
Oh, no, it's no problem. And what makes it so important to have this type of planning in place for patients specifically with blood cancers?
So the most important reason is because, unfortunately, as of today, patients with a diagnosis of CLL, a type of blood cancer, also known as chronic lymphocytic leukemia, there's no cure. And because of the fact that there's no cure, we have to figure out a way to get you and help you get into remission so that you can go back to do your activities of daily living in a normal way whenever you need therapy, because the disease may come up and flare up and give you the symptoms and side effects that are not allowing you to perform fully or be a person that the way that you and I are, or you know, people that don't have a diagnosis of cancer. So you would be surprised. CLL is a condition that is very common. It's actually the most common leukemia in the adult world, in the U.S. and in Europe. And there's many survivors, like Neil here himself, that actually don't show any signs of the disease because they're in remission.
Neil, thanks for coming on again with the doctor. And tell us a little bit about your experience with blood cancer as a survivor and where you are today in your healing process.
Yes, on a routine blood test in December 2013, I found that I had an extremely high white blood count. They repeated the test, and it came back the same. With my sweetheart's help and the internet, we found Dr. Barrientos. And the first time we saw her, she made me feel relaxed, that it's not a disease, that I will not be able to live my life normally. There is going to be a treatment when it's necessary. We actually went from January of 2014 till March before my lymph nodes started to swell up and it was time to start the treatment. I had Gazyva, is the main drug with chemo. It was a 6-month period of time, and since August of this year, I've been in remission.
That's excellent news, and congratulations on that remission. For other people, you've gone through this process. Somebody else that's been diagnosed with cancer and received this sometimes devastating news, what would be your advice to them?
Well, find a good doctor and one that you trust, and work through their team, as I did with Dr. Barrientos. She had a wonderful team of nurses. It's a combined effort. It's not just one person that's doing the treatments. It's a combined effort of all the people in the field. And I was one of the lucky ones that the drug did not affect me. I didn't have major side effects.
So in that sense, it's very important to discuss that you have to discuss all the treatment options that are available for you with your primary doctor. The reason for that is because even though Gazyva works so well on Neil, there may be issues as a side effect. For example, you may develop a life-threatening viral infection or an infusion reaction that would need to be taken care of. So it is very important before you commit to a treatment to discuss all these options with your primary care provider and make sure that you are in tune with the plans that your doctor has. And that's the reason why it's very important to have a family member that knows what the plan of care will be, so that they can help you get to your appointments on time and to your follow-up, you know, routine, to have everything in place in case that you develop a side effect as well.
Yeah, that team approach, both from the family side of things as well as the healthcare side of things, is really important in caring for patients with these types of serious illnesses. Dr. Barrientos, Neil mentioned the nurses on the team that helped care for him. What role do nurses play helping cancer survivors adjust to life during and after cancer?
It is an amazing effort. They are my right hand. He loves his team. I love my team. They essentially guide the patient during the process. For example, when he was getting his infusion, they would tell him, you know, if you have any reactions, let your nurse know. They were always on time checking his vital signs to make sure that there were no undue toxicities or side effects when he was getting the drug. So it is very important, and it goes hand in hand. Many times, patients themselves forget to tell me what side effects or complications they're having, but they usually will trust their nurses, and they will confide in them things that they may have forgotten to tell us. So we work as a team, and they are usually, you know, our first advocates to make sure that the patients have and feel well.
Neil, what were your experiences with the nurses that cared for you on your team? Did you develop a rapport with a particular nurse or a group of nurses?
Well, each time, my treatment consisted of infusions once a month and then follow-up visits to Dr. Barry Antos. And I found that everybody involved was very concerned about how I was feeling, if I had any side effects, or if there was something they could do to make it easier for me. And my sweetheart was right there on top of everything, making sure that we got the appointments, the drugs that I was taking were done on a timely manner. And it was excellent all the way around. It really, I'll tell you, it's perfect to have so much support from the people around.
Dr. Barry Antos, more and more people are surviving cancer, and that, as you alluded earlier, and those numbers just increasing every day. What advice would you offer to students in healthcare professions that maybe are looking at a career in oncology?
So nowadays, there's so many new therapies that are coming along the pipeline that it is just a great time to be in oncology. I actually came into oncology because of family members that had a diagnosis of cancer themselves. And I wanted to change the way that, you know, some therapies were given, because some of the therapies can be very toxic. And I felt that maybe there were newer drugs that we could come up with that would make people feel alive, you know, instead of making them feel very sick from their therapies. So in the case of patients or students that are interested in the field, I think it's a great time. There's a lot of new drugs out there that are less toxic with the same efficacy as older drugs. So we are very excited, living in very exciting times, especially in the fields of lymphoma and blood cancers.
So as we wrap up here, where can survivors find more information on resources and programs for cancer survivors?
So first and foremost, your local community physician should be able to guide you on activities that are available in your community surroundings. But there are other websites that are, for example, nationally, like the Lymphoma Leukemia Society. They have a website called lls.org, and they usually have all the information about educational activities, support groups for patients with a diagnosis, support groups for the caregivers, and also fundraising events like marathons or 5K runs to get people to participate in these activities to raise funds for a cure, because that's essentially what we all want, to develop one day a cure for this disease.
Well, Dr. Barry Antos and Neil, I want to thank you both for coming on the Nursing Show, and we'll have links to all of that information in the online show notes for this episode. Take care, and Neil, continued success in your remission in cancer.
Thank you for having me, and we wanted to get the word out.
Thank you very much.
That's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week. Make sure you follow up, though, on all of the information you picked up in this episode. Head over to nursingshow.com and check out the episode show notes. There's a link right there at the top of the page. In there are listings for all of the episodes of The Nursing Show. From the most recent one at the top, you can scroll down and go all the way back to the very first episode. But I want you to get the full information there with links to other resources so that you understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. If you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email. You can send that in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So send me your comments, your questions, suggestions, news links. Help support the Nursing Show community with your input. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter. There's a link and form right on the right-hand side of the Nursing Show site, so fill out that short form and we'll send you the links to each episode's show notes directly to your email inbox each week. You can also connect with me on social media sites. I'm available there under the handle PodMedic, so you can find me there under twitter.com/PodMedic and facebook.com/PodMedic, so friend or follow me. You can also become a member of the community over on Facebook by liking the Nursing Show Facebook page at facebook.com/nursingshow. Click the like button there and join the conversation on that page. I post other nursing and healthcare articles and pictures on the Nursing Show site throughout the course of each week and over at the Nursing Show page, so check it all out. That's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back with more episodes here of the Nursing Show. Remember, it comes out every Friday for you, so you can wrap up your nursing week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to the Nursing Show.